B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour of the program, John Wallach, Joe Murray, sitting in for Fred and Rich on a Friday. Rich will be back on Monday. We talked mostly Bruins, and rightfully so, here this morning. Bruins lose to Carolina 3-2. Their best of seven first-round playoff series now even at one game apiece. Game three is tomorrow afternoon at noon, but not to be left out. The Celtics wrapped up their eight-game run-up to the playoffs. They are the three seed. They lost yesterday 96-90 to finish third in the Eastern Conference. They open up a best of seven first-round playoff series with Philadelphia coming up on Monday. And Jay King is a writer for The Athletic covering the Boston Celtics. He now joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jay, good morning. Is Jay there?
There he is.
Jay, you with us?
Yes, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, the kid's in the building. How are you? Everything okay?
I'm doing great. No complaints.
I'm glad. So the Celtics won five of the eight games. Actually, you really toss out yesterday. Yesterday really didn't count. But it's hard to believe they could have looked more impressive in the previous five up until yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for them was their offense was just looking great. And obviously they haven't been healthy much of the season. Kemba Walker looked great. He played more and more minutes as the seeding games progressed, and they were sharing the ball. And when they can minimize their bench and when they can play their starters a lot of minutes, they're a really, really potent team. And I think we saw that throughout the seeding games.
And the one thing that I have been saying over the last week, and I don't know if you agree with me, the best thing is, for Celtics fans anyway, is that the expectations for this team this year is not necessarily to win a championship, because you look at Milwaukee, you look at the Lakers and the Clippers over in the West, and that not only makes this team easier to root for in the playoffs, you root for a team that you know is going to be a pain in the ass to get rid of, regardless of who they play.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll even be favored in the second round if they play the Raptors. And that's, I mean, obviously they've had a pretty charmed season. Like, pretty much everything that they needed to go right has. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have taken leaps. Kemba Walker fit in seamlessly. Gordon Hayward showed he was healthy again. They found center play from Daniel Tyson and Enes Kanter, good center play. And now Robert Williams is emerging. So many things have gone right for them. The one thing, now it's the 76ers. If they lose to the Sixers without Simmons, that would just be probably the worst possible way to end the season. I don't want to be like a buzzkill, but it will.
So Jay, obviously Ben Simmons was a really good defender on that team. Yeah. But during the regular season, the Celtics had issues, problems against Philadelphia. They shot 32% from the three-point line and obviously 40% going to the basket inside the paint. How do you see that getting better here? And is the subtraction of Ben Simmons, does that make things a little easier for the Celtics?
I think Simmons, that loss is going to be huge, huge, huge for the 76ers. And obviously, he's such a talented guy on both ends of the court, but I think they'll really miss his defense because the Celtics just have so many wings, and it's so hard to match up. And Simmons was playing probably at an all-NBA defense level this season. When you lose him, all of a sudden, you've got a lesser guy, whether it's Shake Milton, Josh Richardson, Glenn Robinson III, Alec Burks, guarding one of those guys, and it's a huge drop-off. I think for the Celtics, though, one of the big things will be the decision-making at the rim. You know, when they look bad sometimes, it's when Jason Tatum is forcing stuff at the rim. It's when Kemba Walker can't get to the bucket. It's when they make bad decisions there, and it turns into offense for teams the other end. And obviously, Embiid is really, really good defensively. So I think that will be one of the keys for them, is making the right decisions there and then making Philadelphia guard them at the arc, because Philadelphia, especially now without Simmons, I don't think they have the athleticism to keep up with Boston if they make the right decisions time after time.
Let's talk about the bench a little bit, because you kind of alluded to it a couple of minutes ago. And the Celtics will shorten the bench, as you should, during the playoffs. But the one thing we really kind of found out during these last eight games is the guy you talked about. Robert Williams has earned 5 to 10 minutes a game off the bench. He is limited offensively outside of dunking, but defensively, he is a shot blocker. He gives you a presence at the rim that no other Celtic can give you.
Great. Let me say this. Dunking works, too.
Yeah, it does.
I think Robert Williams, that was probably the biggest development for the Celtics during the season games, because Enes Kanter, he's been pretty good for them. He's one of the best offensive rebounders, at least in recent history. But he has limitations. And I think especially in a series against when they have Lowry, when they have Van Vliet, when they play both those guys together so much and they're so quick, Kanter is going to be tough to play in some situations. And I think that's why mining Robert Williams during these seeding games was huge. And for Robert Williams, it's not like his physical tools have been there from the start. He's been able to dunk. He's been able to block shots from the time probably he was born. It's the focus stuff. And I think that's where he's looked better during the seeding games. You know, he's staying on his feet. He's not always jumping for shot blocks. He's being in the right position a little more often. He hasn't thrown the dumb turnovers that he does sometimes. So I think Robert Williams is really, really promising during the last 4 or 5 games.
Hey, Jay, is Brett Brown's pretty much is his job on the line in the series? Think about it. Simmons and Embiid, it's just not working out, man.
Before all of this happened, I mean, think about Al Horford was supposed to be a big addition. They benched him for a while. I mean, I think Brett Brown's in a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, I think he could be coaching for his job, and I think I'm curious about the intellectual aspect of playing in the bubble, knowing you don't have Simmons, knowing your chance of a really deep run are probably gone because you lost Simmons, having Brett Brown who might be gone, having Al Horford who might get traded. The roster in Philadelphia has been really a mess off season. So that team knows things could really be shaken up, and I wonder if they get down, you know, 2-0 or 3-1, if they just say, you know what, I don't want to be in a bubble anymore. Like, get me out of Orlando. Get me home to my family. Let me just go home and hit the beach somewhere.
Now, Jay, you wrote a piece on the Celtics broadcast, Grandy and Max doing the call from the Celtics locker room. Now, we noticed that one of our engineers is mentioned in the article, but the Sports Hub is not mentioned. Why do you hate the Sports Hub so much?
It's almost as if you went out of your way not to mention the fact that the broadcasts are here on this radio station. I mean, we put you on the station plenty, Jay. I mean, we're a little angry about this.
Guys, you've read my stuff before. You know that I'm dumb. You know that wasn't intentional. I have a whole lot of respect for what you do at 98.5 The Sports Hub. I was not intentionally failing to mention your name. I apologize for that. That is a big mishap on my part. It was not intentional. And you know what? That's on me.
All right, good. I like a guy who admits when he's wrong. He falls on his sword.
That was
very good. No, all kidding aside, Jay, you kind of went into, and for those of you who haven't seen it, check it out. It's on the Athletic website and under Jay's name. It is an interesting look into all of the things that Sean and Max have to go through on game day, starting just by getting in the building. That's weird enough once you're inside, but they're in the Celtics locker room, and they are all these banks of monitors and all this equipment. It's not as easy as you'd think.
It's so hard. And I cannot overstate how strange it was to walk into TD Garden and just have nobody be there. It was, you really do feel just the weight of how big it is. And normally there's like tons of people everywhere. You got construction people working. You've got, you know, game night workers. You've got security staff. Nobody's there. It's basically just Grandy and Max. And yeah, they call it off TV screens. And I don't know how they know, like, what the calls are. Grandy is just a wizard with that stuff. And Max, obviously, they just have fun together. I enjoyed that experience quite a bit. Like, not often you can watch a game sitting in front of Vincent Poirier's locker.
That's very true. That's very true. Jay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Jay King of The Athletic, thank you very much. Celtics open up the postseason on Monday.
Pizza time!
Against the Philadelphia 76ers. I got to figure that it's a five-game series, right?
I'm only concerned about the length. There's a lot of length on that 76ers team.
Yep.
And if the Celtics can't shoot from the outside and can't get to the basket, what other option do they have?
Well,
I mean, and the only thing I can think of is at times maybe Cantor trying to score inside the paint.
I don't think they have far superior wings.
I agree.
And I think Tatum could pretty much get his own shot regardless of who's guarding him. I'm not worried about this at all.
Yeah, I think as long as the shots are falling, Celtics in five. Yeah,
and easily. That's the only thing. If they don't fall, how else do they score? And they need to get to the foul line. Like, Jason Tatum's a guy who doesn't get to the line a lot, considering he's supposed to be a star. That they're going to have to get to the foul line and get Embiid and Horford in the foul trouble.
617-779-0985. It's Wallach. It's Murray. We'll take a timeout. And when we return, a segment I've been looking forward to all morning. We'll take a trip down memory lane. I can't wait for this. You want to tune in. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm only concerned about the length.
Brick House by the Commodores, right? Nailed it. Brick House, Commodores.
Got everyone who's ever been to a wedding.
That's right. That's a good point. Okay, it's Toucher and Rich for Friday. Joe Murray and yours truly, John Wallach, here till 10 o'clock. And then I don't know who's in for the midday show. I assume they're fully staffed. They've been fully staffed all week. So that's at 10 o'clock here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And we'll get to a segment I've been looking forward to very much in a minute. But we wanted to update you. And yesterday while I was out, and my phone is, as I said earlier in the program, my phone is crapped out on me. But when it was working, I saw there was a phone call from Fred Toucher. And unfortunately, I was not able to pick up the phone because it physically was not working. And then when I did get it working, I called back and he didn't pick up and left a message. But one guy who did talk to Fred yesterday was our own Mike Lockhart.
Yeah, I spoke to him for like 20 minutes yesterday. He sounded great, sounded positive. He's excited to come back and just kind of like get things going again. And he has a lot of stories. So you know, Fred, how everything just turns upside down.
Yes.
Well, he has a ton of stories already. So I'm sure he's going to pick up even more by the time he comes back. So I'm excited for him. He sounds great. And he really appreciates all the listeners, backing him and just, rooting him on through all of this.
Yeah, we miss you a lot, Fred. We hope you come back soon. So we want to make sure we update the listeners. So
nobody can ever replace Freddie T.
Nope.
He is loved by everyone.
As I am very much well aware. Okay, so let's move on to the Red Sox. And the reason we were talking about this last week, Mike, you and I, one of the things that we miss about Red Sox games is not necessarily the product on the field, because they're horrible this year, and they were, that's a downgrade from just being mediocre last year. But one of our favorite segments on the program is the Drunken Red Sox Recap, and we kind of played some of it last week, and I'd forgotten how much I had missed it. There are some great people wandering around the Fenway after the game is over. You know what? It doesn't even have to be after the game is over. Nick is able to find these people who got ejected from the ballpark in the sixth or seventh inning. So we discussed one person in particular, and I'm so happy you have made my wish come true.
Yeah, let's take things back to 2009.
It was Adolfo out yesterday, was it not, Rich?
It was, and he did a good job. It's fairly easy when a game on a Sunday starts as early as yesterday's day. What was it, a 1 o'clock game?
1:30,
yeah. 1:30? Oh, yeah. That means right around 7 o'clock you're going to find some good ones. They've been at the game. They didn't want to leave. They went to one of the fine drinking establishments afterwards, and out comes a girl like this.
It's okay we use this for the radio?
Yeah.
So this is Dalen, and this is your Toucher and Rich Drunken Red Sox Recap.
Hello! Hello, it's Dalen.
Sometimes I don't find the drunks very funny, but that one is completely out of it.
Hello.
Yeah, she didn't get let into one of the establishments.
Well, really?
Yeah, yeah.
She shouldn't have been able to walk the streets.
Yeah, like if they probably go, "Do you have an ID?" And she just went, "Devlin."
And she's,
"Hello.
Hello. Miss, do you have an ID?" "Yeah, it's Devlin." "Hello.
Hello, it's Dylan."
Or Dylan. When you can't pronounce your own name, things are wrong.
What do you want me to say?
Okay, tell me about today's game.
It was very good. We had a great day. Me and my friend Jane went there, and the Red Sox won. It was 2-1, and we had a great time.
I got to give her props for knowing the score.
Yeah.
Hello, it's Dylan.
Hello.
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 Yeah, let's have a good time.
Hello, it's Dylan.
What was today's highlight?
I don't know. We really didn't see the highlight. We kind of, whatever. But we saw some great catches. And
that could be highlights.
That could be a highlight, yeah.
They didn't see the highlight.
Yeah. Right. The one that comes out in the seventh inning all the time.
Right. Shines real bright.
Yeah.
It's, no, they bring out like an MIT student with a textbook. They just start highlighting.
Hello.
Hello, Devlin.
Hello, it's Dylan.
I'm sorry to mispronounce your name.
We're very happy that we went there.
Who's your favorite player on the Red Sox?
My favorite player on the Red Sox is...
Hello.
Puppy.
She means an actual puppy.
Yeah.
Hello, Devlin.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Hello, it's Dylan.
Hello.
Hello. Puppy.
I just went to the Humane Society.
Puppy.
Yeah, I have one.
Hello.
Hello, indeed.
Hello, it's Dylan.
Now, why is that?
Because he's so tall and so strong, but he didn't hit the ball. He didn't hit the ball tonight.
Okay. Now, the Red Sox are off to a shaky start at the beginning of the season. Do you think this is going to set the tone for the rest of the season?
Go Red Sox! They've been winning.
Now, what do the Red Sox need to do?
Hello, Devlin.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to see you.
Hello, it's Dylan.
All right. Oh, isn't it? Oh, I can't believe we ran into each other.
Hello.
Okay. What were you out buying? You
puppy?
Mean? Okay, a puppy. What are you having for dinner tonight?
Puppy.
Hello.
Hello, it's Dylan.
Now, what do the Red Sox need to do in order to make it to the playoffs again this year?
They need to get their balls catched, hit home runs, and do everything possible.
Hello, Devlin.
Hello.
It's nice to talk to you again.
Hello, it's Dylan. They need to get their balls catched.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Hello, it's Dylan.
With your chance at $500.
Puppy.
Hello, Devlin.
Hello.
We got to do an interview with someone. Where the entire interview is just her saying hello.
Hello, it's Dylan.
What's up?
Hello.
Oh, man. Oh, Devlin, you've made us very happy this
morning.
Puppy. That's right. You like those. What's your favorite animal?
Puppy.
Okay.
Hello.
Is it okay we use this for radio?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Dalen, and this is your Touch and Rich Drunken Red Sox recap.
Puppy, hello. Hello, it's Dylan. saw some great catches. Happy that we went there. Had a great time.
What was today's highlight?
I don't know. We really didn't see the highlight. Whatever. But my favorite player on the Red Sox is Poppy. So tall and so strong.
Now, what do the Red Sox need to do?
Ball, catch, hit, home runs, and... Poppy, hello. Hello, it's Dylan. Hello. Poppy.
Hello, it's Dylan.
I missed this so much. I miss it so much. We need more of this. Mike Lockhart, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. When Rich gets back on Monday, you need to have this conversation with him. You need to tell him we need to do more of this.
Yeah, I'd like a fast, like an original faster guy. Like the first time we ever met the faster guy, he was talking about left-hand throws and everything. He had to be fast. Like the best players were always faster. That's why he became faster guy.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, what do we find? Computers in hills and
in the woods.
In the woods. Yeah. And he was so pure back then.
Oh, my God. I miss him.
And we all miss him. We all miss all these people because, A, there are no fans in the stands, and, B, I don't know how crowded it is around there.
I don't know. Well, you know what? My wife was telling me the Newbury Street was full of crazies yesterday. So,
great.
So,
I have a question. Do you think that if there were fans with this team this year, how would the drunken recaps be?
They'd be better.
Oh, they'd be amazing.
Oh, much better. Because
nobody
normal.
Would care. I bet
and the people that did care would be twice as angry.
The tickets at the end of the season would just be in the toilet as far as prices. Mm. Yeah. It would be a 1 o'clock disaster
so
for
really
people.
We're really missing out on some gold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. To quote the Adolfo Gonzalez, it'd be fishing shoot in a barrel.
Yeah.
It'd be great. It'd be easy. And that's why I'm angry, because we're missing such a great opportunity. This team is so bad. It's the worst Red Sox team of my lifetime. And because of this stupid pandemic, we're being robbed of this great segment of the program that would kill every week. It's awful.
I gave a prediction 13-5 yesterday. It was 17-8.
Yeah.
Which is worse. Much worse.
Yeah. I wonder how many runs the Yankees are going to score this weekend.
Whoa. 7. Get out of your adding machines. They face Cole tonight, right?
Three games?
Yeah, 3 games.
Four, I think.
One's a doubleheader?
No, I think they play into Monday. And
they play
Tuesday,
the wraparound.
Wednesday,
so
they play Philly.
Four is over under 28.5.
Oh, I'm going over.
For the 4 games?
Yeah.
Over. Oh, my God, over. Well, you're the sharp of the group of us. What do you think?
8 times 4 is 32, so should we just do 32.5? They've given up 8 runs a game.
I'll take the over on that.
Yeah. Well,
come back on Monday and see where we're at.
All right.
TBA's pitching tonight, so I don't know how well he's going to do.
I'm sure they'll be just perfect. 617-779-0985. It's Wallach. It's Murray. Headlines with Mike Lockhart are next here on 98.5 The Sports.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Tutcher and Rich for a Friday. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. So there were quite a few things we didn't get to. We spent most of the morning talking about the Bruins and the Celtics. We overlooked the Patriots, who were going to start hitting their own people for real this weekend. Actual workouts by an actual football team with the regular season coming up in a few weeks. And the protocols and things that need to be done just to get to this point are very, very difficult. But Bill Belichick understands. He met the media this morning, earlier this morning, and we culled the best material for you, the faithful listener. And the people that really get screwed in the process, or so says Bill, are the rookies.
They're swimming, they're in deep water, and, you know, their eyes get opened every day as we, you know, move, you know, up in the process, and we're still a long way from anything close to real football, but we're doing more now than we did before, so each day is an acclimation day and an adjustment day for them, and I think they're just trying to keep their head above water and try to swim or paddle in the right direction.
The real problem, Joe, and it's interesting to hear Bill say that, is he's got to rely on a lot of rookie help at linebacker. At linebacker, tight especially tight end, a little safety. Your top pick, Duggar's going to play a lot this year because there's no Patrick Chung. So, and Adrian Phillips, as great a special teamer as he is not a starting safety. He can play all over the place, but I think you'll see more Duggar than Phillips at safety next to McCourty.
And he's new to the team, too.
And he's new to the team, too. So, but at least he's a veteran and has an idea of what's going on. Duggar is a big problem, and he's not going to have any preseason games. Asiasi and Rambo, what's his name?
Dalton Keene.
Those two guys are going to be leaned on. And Uche and Jennings, especially Uche and Jennings at linebacker. They need big seasons out of both of them if they plan to go anywhere. I mean, rookies are going to be counted on a lot for a change for the Patriots for the first time. And this is the one year where they don't get the opportunity to play.
I thought that was supposed to change when Tom Brady left. You know, because Brady didn't like the rookies, right?
Right.
So, like, Belichick's already put them in deep water. Well, he's already put them in deep
you
water.
You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice, right? You don't have a choice. This year he needs efforts out of, what, both tight ends, a couple of linebackers, and a safety. So, five rookies you need.
And a kicker.
And a kicker. Justin Rohrwasser. But somehow I don't think the learning curve is nearly as steep for Justin Rohrwasser. So,
and, you know what? Sony Michel is not playing right now, so they could be without him for a while.
Big year out of Damian Harris this year. Had his red shirt year. Big year out of Damian Harris this year. Workhorse. He'll be the workhorse. If Sony Michel can't get on the field, Damian Harris is going to have a big role.
Doesn't it make you nervous that he didn't play last year?
Like, yeah. No, what makes me nervous is they bring in Lamar Miller.
Right.
Because
that says to me that things aren't good.
Harris, I thought, was better than Jacobs at Alabama. And Jacobs was what? The rookie of the year?
Yeah, he was awesome.
So, like, I don't know. It's something to it. If they're bringing in Lamar Miller, either Harris isn't right or Michelle's not right.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. We'll get back to football in a second, but something happened last night, and I kind of understood the Mookie Betts trade when it happened. He wasn't going to be here. They weren't going to re-sign him. They weren't going to offer him enough money. They offered him 10 years and $300 million, according to a couple of folks, and he turned that down. And I don't know how much further the Red Sox were willing to go to keep him. And they traded him. They traded him and got the top prospect in their farm system. They got a backup catcher. Who else did they get? Verdugo, who apparently is going to be a starting outfielder, and whatever. So in my head, I knew that Mookie Betts is going to go to L.A., and now he's going to stay in L.A., but I knew he was going to be good. I knew that Mookie Betts was going to be an all-star player for at least 5 or 6 years, if not longer, in that mammoth contract, and that's why I wanted him to stay here. But you kind of wrap your head around it and go, okay, he's not going to be an all-star here, but he'll be an all-star there, and you don't get upset about it. And then last night happens.
Betts with a fly ball to left center field. Way back, and he has hit it out. Third home run of the game for Mookie Betts. The rout is on. The Dodgers 11-2 on 6 home runs tonight.
By the way, serious props for playing the Gap Band and Party Train during home runs in L.A. I like that.
Serious props for not playing Don Orsillo.
Yeah.
Don Orsillo on Mookie Betts home runs, that would hurt a lot of fans.
I know.
It's worse than, Dougie Hamilton maybe
Mookie,
scoring a goal.
Okay. Tone it down. Mookie Betts hit 3 home runs last night. That is the 6th 3 home run game of his career. Only 2 guys in the history of baseball have 6 3 homer games. 2. And Betts is 27 years old. Oh, my God.
Wouldn't you love to have had Dustin May on this team?
Oh,
if they could have traded for him, he is nasty. I never realized how good he was until this year.
The guy they had, Gratterall. Have you seen how well he's pitching for LA? Out of the bullpen, guy throws 100 with movement. No, we don't need that guy.
He's too fat.
There's something physically wrong with him. No, we can't have him. So screw that. You take him back. We're going to take Jeter Downs. That's who we want. Good. We don't need pitching on this team.
No, we
need a minor league second baseman.
TBA, lefty.
That's
or
what
righty.
We need. So I watched Mookie Betts 3 home runs last night. And, of course, he's starting with the Dodgers. I mean, he's got all kinds of line of protection. But he was great to begin with. But get ready, Red Sox fans. Everyone who's criticized the Mookie trade, you're going to get your say because he's going to be awesome. And not just now. For the next 5 or 6 years, he's going to be awesome for MLA. And I'm sure there'll be people back when he turns 33 or 34 call back and go, you know, I told you he's tailed off. I said, yeah, but he gave you six MVP seasons, six seasons of 30-30 play with a 300 average and a gold glove. I mean, there's maybe two other guys in Major League Baseball like Mookie Betts. One is Mike Trout, and the other maybe is Christian Yelich, who is in a massive slump for
Acuna
Milwaukee.
Acuna is, too. He's not Mookie
Betts. Yeah, Acuna is, too. So, I mean, get used to it. Betts is going to be a stud. He's going to be a stud for a while.
I would love to see how Mookie could have played with this team this year. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if they were this bad as they are, like, would that have helped their contract? I don't know.
No. Actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because if Mookie Betts was on this team, they would trade his ass before the end of this month.
They would have lost 17-11 last night.
Yeah, they would have lost 17-11. Instead of 6-13, they'd be 8-11.
But maybe they'd get better than Jeter Downs or Verdugo and a bag of balls.
Maybe. But you never know. With no line of protection, I mean, is Mookie going to have a mammoth year? I don't know. I don't know. He would be the best hitter on the team. Yeah.
Now maybe JD Martinez opts in because of it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
It's true. He might be like, get me out of here.
That's another guy.
He seems comfortable, though. He just wants to stick around and do his thing.
They're just, you know, great guys to talk to about things.
All right. So Mookie Betts is a stud. We all understand that. Let's go back to football. The team formerly known as the Washington Redskins, now they are known as the Washington Football Team. News from Daniel Snyder yesterday. He's upset. He's upset that the information that makes him look bad has been leaked to the media. Now, put aside the fact that he's not a good guy and he's made everyone who's ever worked for him sign a non-disclosure agreement to kind of hide what that organization is like. And Sports Illustrated, it was Sports Illustrated, right, who came out with that big article about what a terrible organization it was. And I don't care if he knew directly or indirectly. It's on his watch. And he didn't do anything until all of that stuff became public. He's upset that people are now leaking information about what a bad guy he is. And, boy, that's really too bad that people actually find out that you're terrible. And you know what? The people that are leaking that information are the people that don't have to sign non-disclosure agreements, the minority owners who are doing their best to get the hell out of there. I mean, it doesn't matter what corner you turn, this franchise is doomed to fail.
I mean, they just changed the name. So, is the next step for him to just sell?
No, he can't sell. He's not selling.
No.
He's going to die with that
gonna
team.
They're going to pry that out of his cold, dead fingers. There's no way he'll sell. It's got to be an L.A. Clippers situation where the league steps in and goes, dude, you got to go. And I'm sure there are a lot of people say Jeff Bezos would be able to afford it. Jeff Bezos can afford
all the teams.
I was just going to say he could probably afford every single team in the NFL and buy all of them if he wanted to. But yeah, it's sorry, not sorry. But about Daniel Snyder Jr. And then there was the back and forth, Mike. I don't know if you saw this, the back and forth between Greg Williams, the Jets defensive coordinator, and Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks about Jamal Adams.
Yeah, what does he say? He's going to get bored in their scheme?
Greg Williams said he's going to get bored. You know, apparently he's not going to get the super role he had with the Jets.
Well, he's not going to be able to, hurt people for the rest of their life under Greg Williams. So maybe that's what he's talking about.
Well, that's true. I mean, I disagree. Like, Pete Carroll's going to be like, good job, man.
Pumped and jacked, baby.
Right in his face.
Legion of Boom.
He's going to, gas him up.
Yeah.
He's going to be ready. He's going to be all juiced up playing in Seattle.
I agree with you, I don't know why he said that.
The other part of it is, and it's something that Greg Williams left out, is that Jamal Adams may go to the NFC Championship game of the Super Bowl multiple times with the team he's with.
Yeah.
And playing with the Jets, he's going to finish 5-11, 7-9, 8-8. I mean, how far away are the Jets? Jamal Adams did the Jets wrong. I completely agree. He did the Jets wrong. But now that he's out of there, he's in a much better place with a team that's going to pay him lots and lots of money. So why? Greg Williams, it's just sour grapes. I mean, if you're the Jets, you got to understand there aren't a lot of people that want to play for you. The things that have happened with this team, the head coach turnover, the ownership problems, and the best player on the roster doesn't want to be there. Why in the world would you be looking forward to that? Talk about a morale killer. Jamal Adams, the best player, Mr. Jet, wants out of there. Why in the world would you think anything good is about to happen with your team? And the Jets traded him with 2 or 3 years of control. They just didn't want to deal with it.
How long till Sammy D shoots his way out of town?
Let's check back in with me in a year. No,
has he got a contract extension yet?
No.
Okay. Other
Patriots.
Guys have, though,
he's going to be the next Patriots quarterback.
Oh, please, God, let that happen.
Imagine if Fred became a Patriots fan because Sam Darnold came here.
Would that turn him?
No.
Sammy D would not turn him?
No. Sammy D coming here would not turn him. As a matter of fact, I don't even think Fred would bat an eye. He'd be like, yeah, typical Jets.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets get rid of someone and he goes right to the Patriots and succeeds. You know, and who knows? I mean, the problem with the Jets is they're playing behind a rebuild. The quarterback is now behind an entirely rebuild offensive line in a year where you don't have any games to play. So, I mean, continuity is so – that may save the Patriots this year is that they have
the Jets
everyone
–
Well, that's part of it. But the other part of it is a lot of people that are going to play for the Patriots – were playing in the very same positions last year. Like, that's why I thought Jared Stidham had a leg up on Cam Newton, because he knows the offense. You know, there's no learning curve. He's aware of what to do. N'Keal Harry, you know, granted, he didn't play a lot last year, and when he did, Brady didn't want him on the field, but he was there.
Right.
He knows the offense.
Yeah. You know, he had flashes of brilliance.
Flashes of brilliance. The secondary is basically the same. That's the thing. The most important part of this team last year was the secondary. And you have guys that were there last year. There's no learning curve. There's not. Now, Duggar is a key part of that. But and Adrian Phillips doesn't know the defense and is going to have to learn on the fly. But you have the quarterback, Devin McCourty, there to get everyone in, to get everyone where they need to be. Linebacker is a major problem.
You did just open up this segment by saying they could be in trouble because of all the rookies they have. So which one is it, John?
Well, I'm detailing the positives and the negatives, Mike. I'm trying to learn you
maybe
a little something.
Maybe something to how to swim.
I'm going
to
learn you a little something here. I finished up the last sentence I had. Linebacker is a problem, but continuity is very important in certain aspects of this game. Offensive line being one of them, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So it's huge. That's probably the biggest one in football.
Jets
have a good offensive line.
Jets have five new guys. The Patriots have four of the five.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Jets needed five new guys, so that could be better.
But ultimately, that's a big difference.
Sure.
Especially when you have the franchise standing there trying not to get hit.
You got an old man running for the Jets. He's seen better days. So
yeah, and one other NFL note before we get out of here and take off for the weekend. The Seattle Seahawks waived rookie Kamash Silverin for trying to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel. I told you this was going to happen.
It happens every year.
No, but I mean, this year more than any other year, it matters a ton. And you see teams going out of their way to get players away from everyone, put them in a hotel near the facility. I don't know if the Patriots are doing this, but they have that ability to do so if they need to. Dallas Cowboys were the first team to do this. Seattle's doing this just to get the players healthy before practices start for real on Monday, where the hitting starts and the spread is more possible, to get them as safe as they can to the regular season. These are kids. These are guys that are 21, 22, 23. No one's ever said no to them before. People think the rules, like those pitchers for the Cleveland Indians, same thing.
Yeah.
Young kids. Kids are going to be kids no matter how much you tell them not to do something. And Mike, you and I have kids. You have two daughters. I have a pair of twin boys. We've exhausted ourselves. Tell them, don't do this, don't do that. And you know what happens?
They want to do it more.
They do it anyway.
And it's always these fringe guys that end up getting caught in training camp with women. I remember that happened a couple years ago. I think it was the Rams. Might have been the Rams. Somebody in Hard Knocks got cut from the team immediately a couple years ago because they were sneaking ladies into the
facility.
They tried
the fish. The fish let them go.
Yeah. And it's like, that's when he was like, what do you think?
Broken the rules.
Yeah, the rules are broken.
The whole thing to me is, though, is like, you really need it that bad?
It's so dumb. And why is it a fringe guy every time? Like, these are the guys who are supposed to just, like, play by the rules and try to get a job, and then they always get canned.
You better hope it's not one of your stars. If you're a fan of an NFL team, you better hope.
You know, if it's one guy, Tom Brady,
guys that are not married to supermodels. I guess what I'm saying is guys that don't think the rules apply to them.
You think Gronk snuck any ladies up in there back in the day?
If Gronk wants a lady, they get him
right.
A lady.
That's
coming.
True. Yeah, but now you got to sanitize the lady before she gets there.
That's true.
That in itself is a major league problem. So, I mean, look, I don't know. Right now, the testing is perfect for the National Football League. I mean, not perfect, but I mean, all things considered, the testing is positive test rate is below 1%. in the latest round of NFL testing, you just got to get it to the beginning of the regular season.
Yeah.
And that's 2 weeks,
dude,
3 weeks.
4 weeks from yesterday.
I don't know if they can do it. You just got to give yourself the best chance to have it happen. And with behavior like this, it's not the last time. And that's the thing. Seattle went through it yesterday. This isn't going to be the last time it happens, regardless of how many warnings. The question is, can you mitigate the problem? And I'm hoping that's the case because I really want there to be football this year. I want there to be football this year. Okay.
John, excellent job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to the big boss, Jim Lau. Thanks to Nick, Mike Lockhart. I will see you on Monday, correct?
Sounds good. Yes, I'll be here.
Okay. So, Rich, I've been told, is out again on Monday.
Really?
So it's you, it's me, and it's Ted Johnson.
Whoa.
Here on Monday. I know that Dan O'Brien is out. I know Nick and Mike will be here. So there'll be a quiz on this when we show up on Monday morning. So we're back at it Monday. Zolak and Bertrand coming up next. Have a good weekend, everyone. Goodbye. I'm a lover of
every kind. And my name's Mike, not Nick.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.